Now, a free coronavirus test will be offered to more people just to get a better idea of how many are infected and where at any one time. If you know where this is happening, where these spikes are, where the clusters are, then we can deal with it, or certainly attempt to deal with it. The government would like to test 150,000 people every 2 weeks in England by the autumn, whether they have COVID-19 or not. The Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, was talking about this yesterday. He said he'd like to see mass testing of as many people as possible right across the country, but it will take time.
If you can have a test technology where the test result comes back in a matter of minutes rather than the next day because you don't have to send it to the lab, we're ramping it up over the remainder of this year. I'm not going to put a firm deadline on it. The answer is we are going as fast as we can.
Well, will it work? One man who just might have an opinion on it is Professor Bertie Squire, Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the School of Tropical Medicine here in Liverpool. Also, honorary consultant in infectious diseases at the Royal here in Liverpool as well. Bertie, morning to you. Thanks for being with us once again. We've just heard Matt Hancock there announce plans to test 150,000 people every couple of weeks in England, whether they have symptoms or not. On the strength of it, this is good news, isn't it?
Good morning, Snelly and everyone. Yes, it is good news. It's worth being clear that what he's talking about here is the Office for National Statistics Infection Survey. So it's separate from the testing program of people who have symptoms to diagnose cases. And the survey is a way of testing a representative sample of the general population to get a detailed picture of the number of infections in that general population. And that includes those who don't have symptoms. And the larger the number of people included in the survey, the more accurate the resulting estimates. So going up from the 28,000 tests a fortnight, which is happening in the survey now, towards 150,000 tests a fortnight by October, will really help get a much more accurate picture.
It sounds like a lot, doesn't it? You know, 150,000 every 2 weeks, but we have a hell of a large population in this country, 60 odd million. So it would be difficult to test every city, every town, every village. So I suppose this is going to be piecemeal, if you like. Let's do the cities first and let's do as many as we can, because this isn't going to be an overnight thing, is it?
No, it's not going to be an overnight thing. And it's worth just reiterating that what it's trying to do is to get a representative picture of what's happening in different circumstances. So as we head into winter, the more accurate estimates that we get from the survey will be helpful in early detection of changes in the infection rates. You'll remember we talked about that R0 number. And getting the R0 estimates from this survey would make it easier for services to plan than it was, for example, in spring this year. So in the spring, we had to rely on the numbers of hospital admissions to back calculate and model the infection rate estimates. And that was a real problem because hospital admissions lag behind the community infection rates. So this survey gives us the opportunity to be able to sort of detect early if there are changes happening.
Yeah, so this would be as accurate as it possibly can be. This wouldn't be computer modelling or an algorithm. There's that word again. This would actually be hard evidence, you know, that you'd be tested and within hours you would have that test back. If we've got the information, we then know how to deal with it, presumably.
That's right. So once you've got these estimates, it's then possible to respond much more quickly than find ourselves with, for example, much higher rates of community transmission that then require the kind of stringent lockdowns that we had. So I think it's a way of just being ahead of the game. As you know, we've had to try and learn a lot about this virus, how it spreads, etc. And I think, you know, getting more accurate results from the ONS survey is really going to be helpful.
Also, in the last week and days, we've seen some relaxing of local lockdowns to Princess Park here in Merseyside and now in Leicester as well. Is this going to be the way that we deal with it now? This is the way we're going to live alongside coronavirus, where we'll have a lockdown, then there'll be relaxing, there'll be easing, and the management of the Princess Park situation, you know, that was held up as this is the way to do it.
Yes, I think that that you're onto this in the right way. The Princess Park experience shows that when public health authorities have more detailed local knowledge about cases, where numbers are rising, it's possible to respond locally with specific targeted measures. So in Princes Park, there was an increased door-to-door awareness raising, so reminding people about the symptoms, the importance of social distancing, hand washing, etc. There was also increased accessibility of local testing, the so-called pop-up testing centres, and there was some more stringent local restrictions on things like visiting care homes. So that way, more widespread, tougher restrictions, such as the one in Leicester, can be avoided. So I think at the moment, Liverpool monitors the number of cases by ward. And this way, it's possible to sort of spot where there's an early peak and then and go and really work alongside the community to bring that under control.
Yeah, I suppose if it's monitored by ward, as you say, it's manageable then, isn't it? It's like, I suppose it's like giving one, but well, you've got the whole of Liverpool to look after. Well, hang on a minute, I can't do that, it's too big. Well, I tell you what, you just look after that district, somebody else can look after that district. It's manageable then, isn't it? It's not as overpowering, I should imagine. And then when you can do that, that's when it works, and that's when the results start to come in.
I think that's exactly right. And you can also work at a much more personal level, you know, with local, understanding the local context of each of those wards and seeing what's important and what's possible in those different circumstances. Absolutely.
We've been looking at graphs, not as many graphs as we were looking at in the early part of the pandemic, and phrases like flattening the curve we were talking about in the early days. But the latest graph that we see in the media now, particularly on the television news, is those cases starting to rise. You know, we've seen it, we've seen it come down, and we're just starting to see them rise up again. Is that a major worry? But I suppose if we're testing more, if we're looking for things more, we're going to, if the more eyes looking for something, it's inevitable that you will find these things. And that's the situation with the cases.
Yes, that's true. So the more testing, the more we're going to find cases. But it's worth remembering that we're talking about really very low rates, low levels of infection rate right now. So although we might see rises, they're very small rises compared to what we were looking back in the spring. And it's exactly that. It's trying to look carefully, spot early, and respond locally.
We're almost out of time, Bertie, but we always like to finish with your crumb of comfort. And I think, you know, you've just mentioned it briefly there. That's always a crumb of comfort when we say, oh, yes, you know, there's cases and, you know, we can see the graph going up. But the amount of cases that we're finding out compared to April and May are very, very small, as you say, which is a comfort. But what have you got for us this week? And my colleague Kat has come in to sit down to listen to you intently.
Especially.
Because this is her favourite part of the week. So away you go.
Okay, so this week's crumb of comfort is my personal experience of being enrolled in the latest stage of the Oxford vaccine study. So I got vaccinated yesterday evening, and I'm one of several hundred people older than 55, there you go, revealing my age, who have volunteered to be in this latest stage of the vaccine trial. And the reason I've put it in as a crumb of comfort is that I think if these vaccine studies turn out to be useful, then they're going to be of global significance. So they're going to be really helpful for everyone. And the second reason why I've put it in is that I wanted to give a shout out to the team who did this for me and all the other volunteers yesterday in the accelerator building at the Royal. Really excellent organization, very kind staff, very clear explanations, and all sorts of care around social distancing, hand washing, and general care and concern. So there you go.
That will do. And just finally, how many selfies have you had now and autographs have you signed since you've been on with us since March? You must have had a few.
No, I to be honest, none. You hear the voice, but you don't see the face.
The beauty of radio. The beauty of radio. Bertie, thanks very much indeed for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week. There's Bertie Squire, Professor Bertie Squire, Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health. The,
he said it now. People will be on the hunt for a Bertie Squire selfie.
That's it. Yeah. It's great, isn't it? I mean, the radio thing's brilliant because if you ever go out and you ever do something, you know, in the community or whatever, you know, people meet you for the first time and they've been listening for a while. They go, "Oh, I thought you had a beard.
Oh, yes.
Didn't know you looked like that. I thought you were fatter than you are." You know, that's the other
people
one.
Aren't afraid to tell you all these
no,
sometimes.
It's great, isn't it? It's great, yeah. Well, just when you're listening, just picture Brad Pitt in your mind. That'll
yeah,
do.
And you're just not far off, really.
And what about
are you?
What about yourself? Who should people picture when they listen to you? Okay?
Go for Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
Brad Pitt, Jennifer Lopez in the morning. He had a winner. It's a